evening.
Hi. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Doing well.
Good.
Please join me in saying the Out of the Thought. Another Koa. Dula
Chimini.
The sequence Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence. It allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated. And then return it to the body in its newly recreated pristine state, where it will again do its job as it was created to do. Bahem Tafarem
Rem
The letters of the month of Tammuz, the top that creates the planet we call the moon, Lavana, and the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, also known as the Cancer. The gematria of the two letters, 408. When we add the kolel for each letter, becomes 410, representing kadosh, representing holiness. Tammuz is possible to become holy. It just takes a lot of binding by striking, a lot of effort in changing yourself. Reading the verse from Samuel Beth. Wasamti makom liamili And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own, and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as at the first. This class is a Zohar class, as usual, for Motzi Shabbat. And we are going to go to the Zohar handout, but first I'd like to read quickly what was read earlier prior to Shabbat. Once prayer comes from our sage, known as the Ramaz, from his Sefer Shor Shai HaShemot. Here is a link to the website, Kosher Torah, with a commentary as well as the prayer itself. The commentary is by Rabbi Bar Sadak, the author of the website, Kosher Torah. You can find this handout on the unique astrological times link that appears underneath the two pictures on any of the pages in the Hashem website. If you go under the two pictures on the right, you'll see various inquiries, one of which says, unique astrological times. When you get to that page, scroll down to where it says, and I'll read it to you so it's unclear. It's right under Rosh Chodesh Tammuz and the three-week meditations. When Israel is in an active physical war, this is a good thing to say. Before I go to the commentary and the prayer presented by Rabbi Bar Sadak, let us read the call to battle for all people on a spiritual path. This comes from a blog, Mystical Paths, by an Israeli citizen, Reb Gutman Locks. I have changed some terms to make it more inclusive, in my opinion. The Israel Defense Force call-up notice, an announcement. Attention, all people on a spiritual path, and all friends of Israel. You are hereby notified that you are called up for emergency reserve duty. Report to your local mitzvah, which is a good deed, and begin your service at once. Not all of us are merited to drive tanks or to fly airplanes. Not all of us are medics or can carry guns. But we can all do good deeds. And we can all send the spiritual merit of those deeds to protect Jews and other people on a spiritual path and other people living in the threat of wars and living with physical danger. People who are in immediate danger from rocket attacks or from any other source, we can send the merit of our good deed and share it with those people and lose nothing in our merit in the world that is coming. Put a coin in a charity box in addition to the good deed, because this is also a good deed. And it enhances any other good deed. Put a coin in a charity box and ask Hashem to use the merit of your good deeds to protect those of us who are in danger. Invite an extra guest or two to dinner Friday. Have the intention to do it. Hopefully the fighting will be over by next Shabbat. Let's hope so. Let's pray for this event. But if we have the consciousness and verbalize it quietly to ourselves, we're going to invite additional people next Shabbat and ask that your kindness shield an Israeli child who is spending his or her Shabbos in a bomb shelter, or even if it's not Shabbos. Any good deed, especially the mitzvah of bringing spiritual people together at this time, will help to shield the Israeli who are in immediate danger. Please, God, this war will end now, immediately, and peace will be restored to the worlds and also my and your Holy Land. Be sure to tell others that they can help too in this way. The link to the battle prayer above connects you to the mitzvah of prayer. That of saying the battle prayer is a mitzvah. send a multiple of 13 coins or $13 to yashem.com. Using PayPal if you want to contribute to the war against the negative forces in the world. You do not need a PayPal account, just a credit or a debit card. The information is secured by the latest technology. Have no fear. When you do a mitzvah, there can be no negativity attached to it. This is why people who are traveling to Israel, other people will give them a dollar so that they become the channel to that mitzvah of charity, of tzedakah. They carry the dollar to Israel, and they are protected by being that channel. You can also use the link below, which is not yet active, so I will stop reading it. Let us return to the link for the battle prayer and read that. It's a very powerful energy we are connecting to right now. Following in the footsteps of many of my peers and fellow Rabbanim, I am wishing to contribute to the fight that we all now face. Do not deceive yourselves for a minute to believe that we ourselves personally are not involved in this present conflict in the Middle East. All of us, no matter where we are located, by definition of being spiritual people and Westerners, are viewed as being the enemy, just as it is every individual living in the Holy Land. There is no escape. Therefore, the way of war is upon us all. Each of us is obligated to fight, to defend ourselves. But I don't live in the land of Israel. You still are obligated to fight to defend your brother, who is yourself in the spiritual world. No, not everyone can pick up a gun, yet not everyone has to. Hashem has made all us all different, and he has given each of us varying and different ways to fight. The greatest and strongest weapon that Hashem has given us is the power of prayer. Our mere words, spoken with a sincere and open heart, can be more powerful than any bullet or rocket. We all now must pray, and pray with full sincerity and devotion and intention and kavanah. We must pour out our souls, break our hearts, and supplicate heaven to be merciful to his people and his land. We have no merit to stand before this heavenly throne. All we can do is throw ourselves upon the mercy of heaven and beg that the name of Hashem be made great and that the world come to see, to know, and to fear the awesome hand of the Almighty. Each of us is now a spiritual warrior. Rise up, soldier, and take up your arms. I will now reveal to you a secret of the holy Mekubalim that I pray will assist you in performing this sacred task, to fight for the name of Hashem, to bless and protect the nation of Israel and the Jewish people against our many enemies all around. The following prayer contains a powerful secret name of God. Be careful that you never recite it aloud. Merely contemplate it within this prayer, and the power inherent within it shall be unlocked and unleashed as a weapon of war to defend and protect Hashem's people and land. Recite this prayer as often as you can. Cry over it. Recite it day and night, everywhere at any time. Let your cries rocket themselves to heaven, and let Hashem see that our hearts are with him. Heaven will be moved by our sincerity and devotion. Heaven will answer us, and the light of Hashem will indeed be revealed and shine. Here is the prayer. The source is from the Ramaz in his Sefer Shoreshei Hashemot, the roots of the names. I'm not going to read this prayer. I'm going to read the translation, and later I will read the Ilkhil's name, the name that is in this. I will read it not with the vowels that are written on this page, but with their root vowels, because names, the names of God, many times should not be pronounced. But looking at him with these vowels that are printed on the page and saying it with their root vowels does connect to the power of the name. May it be your will, Hashem, our God and God of our forefathers, that for the sake of your holy and pure name that comes forth from the Pasuk, Hashem will fight for you and you shall be silent. That you give to our soldiers and all those who support your people Israel power and success to be victorious in all matters. That their words be heard, that they be wise, that they dominate in every conflict and every judgment. That they be wise, that they dominate in every conflict and every judgment. May their words of wisdom be adhered to by others, and by no one be, and may no one be able to stand against them in anything. All this I ask for the power of your holy name. Yotameh Heatah Wawachem Yokashi la la wa heimenu. Amen. May it be so be your will. Today's Zohar Parasha is Matot. Matot only has one section. We will read it today. We will study it tonight together. We will study it in the merit of that prayer to add additional energy to Hashem's understanding that we are praying to him for this war to end, for the world to come to peace. We will study Matot tonight. All of Matot is this one section in the Zohar. It's expressing the essence. What will we do Thursday in our Zohar class? We will study additional parashiot, additional sections for Pinchas. Don't stop scanning the Zohar for Matot. Scan it, read it over and over. Learn from it. But if you wish, it is okay to connect to the Zohar of Pinchas, the healing energy of Pinchas, this coming week as well. Each energy has a two-week cycle, and the halakha authorizes us to study the parasha, study the Zohar, connecting to this parasha of Pinchas and Matot. Section 1 of Matot, the world is maintained by two colors. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodanei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodanei Vekol Hata Benashim Asher La Yedum Mishkav Zakar Da man tanenan amar Rashi Yehuda ein haolam mitna hegela pitre gav min deatu misar ita di ishtachat hakimat liba hahidiktin vekol Isha Chachmat Lebiyadecha Ta'u Vayaviyu Madve Et Hatkelet Hatkelet Ve'et Ha'argaman Uma Matyan Et Hatkelet Ve'et Ha'argaman Gav min diklilan begoy gavavne. But all the female children that have not known man by lying with him. In relation to this, we learn that Rabbi Yehuda said, the world is maintained by two colors only, white and red, namely chasadim and chachma of the left, that come from the aspect of the wise-hearted woman. Hence it says, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple. What did they bring? The scripture says blue and purple, which are colors contained within colors. That is, there are two main colors, white and red, and blue and purple colors are included within these two colors. My commentary. There are seven colors in the rainbow, which are the seven sephirot. Red is referred to here as Chachmah of the left, which is the left column. White is referred to as Chesed, which is also called the right column. Rabbi Ashlag explains that the color purple is included in the Keter, representing the right column. The color blue is included in Malchut, and really is the color called Techelet. Techelet is Malchut, the color of the sky, the color of the sea. The other colors of the seven are green, yellow, and orange. Sometimes black is considered malchut, as black, green is because black has no color, no light of its own. Black is an absence of color. Malchut has no light of its own. Green is the central column. Yellow is Tiferet. Orange is Hod. Netzach appears to be missing. Can you guess which color it is? There are differing opinions related to colors and the Sephirot. I'll give you a hint as to the color of Netzach. It starts with an S. Pasuk 2. Adahu diktiv. Tarshat semer ufishtim Watas Bechefetz kapeha Ufti biyadeha Tawu Mai tawu Amar Rabbi Yehuda Tawu bedina Tawu berachame Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Amai itkarya isha amar leyadikli la bedina ukli la berachame. This is the meaning of, she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands, since wool pertains to the right and mercy and flax to the left and judgment. It is also written, did spin with their hands. what is spin? Rabbi Yehuda says, they spin with judgment and they spin with mercy. That is, they interlace right and left with each other. And the judgment of the left is sweetened by the mercy of the right. Rabbi Yitzhak said, why is a woman, the Hebrew word isha, so called, which is derived from fire, the Hebrew word esh? He said to him, she contains judgment and mercy. She is therefore called isha, the letters of esh hey, esh being judgment and hey, mercy. Anochat, please remember everything is all relative to the souls of the frame or the frame of reference. No frame of reference is being clarified in this pasuk. Flax is left column, since it is cotton, and grows representing the desire to receive. It grows towards the sun. It grows away from the desire to receive for oneself alone, which is gravity, which is the earth. Flax is left column relative to wool, which comes from a lamb, who is a negative animal and is being grown out from the negativity. It is being transformed from the desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share. A woman contains both mercy and judgment, as indicated in the pasuk. This would be central column if the two energies are in balance. If judgment is stronger in an individual woman, she is connected to Malchut. If mercy is stronger, she is connected to Bina. Yet a woman is called left column relative to a man. Always keep relativity in mind. If you're not sure what relativity refers to, we have a class with a handout in the basic class called Relativity, and it explains how Rabbi Ashlag revealed relativity prior to Albert Einstein revealing his limited aspects of relativity. Pasuk 3. Kachatzi di'amar Rabbi Elazar Kol ita bedina itkarya adiatama ta'ama derachame dechanya mesitra debarnash atechi vabra vemisitra deita ate sumaka Ta'amaita mechivavra Wechivavra dif. Come and see. Rabbi Elazar said, every woman is considered to be of judgment, since they are rooted in the left column. It is so until she tastes the taste of mercy. That is, she marries a man, as a male is rooted in the right column, which is chesed and mercy. We learn that it is from the side of the man that white is produced, such as the bones of the fetus, for he is of mercy. From the side of the woman comes the red of the fetus, the red of flesh and sinew, which are of judgment. When a woman tastes of the white, that is when she is married to a man, while white is more predominant in her, though her root is the red. Anochat. This is confirming what I said above. What is also being indicated, the injection of sperm injects mercy into a woman, along with the physical sperm. This is an amazing teaching that takes a significant amount of contemplation. This pasuk is a hint to the idea that each man who ejaculates into a woman leaves a spiritual trace connected to the sperm. When many men are injected into a woman, they sometimes will be in conflict. This spiritual conflict is what causes the majority of prostitutes to have difficult lives. The fourth verse. Vetachati ama asarana she'ar amin diyade mishkave dekura mashum dechatanenan am ijemina veichemala Israel ushar amin legimolayin vegehinom ilamada ve'almada ate Yisrael ekable tirachamev ushar amin vekavele dadina unan ita de'atamate ama Rachame nitnets nitcha ita de taman ta'ama de dina dina bedina ite bakat ve'alayhu itkare ve'achalavim Aze nefesh lo yadu shava. Come and see. This is why women of the other nations, who know man by lying with him, are forbidden to be wed. We have learned that there is right, chesed, and left, judgment, which are Israel and the other nations, and also the Garden of Eden on the right, and Gehinnom on the left. This world is on the left, and the world to come is on the right. The children of Israel correspond to mercy on the right, and the other nations to judgment on the left. We have learned that when a woman has a taste of mercy, that is when she marries one of the men of Israel, mercy overpowers judgment, and she turns into mercy. When a woman has a taste of judgment, that is when she marries a foreigner who pertains to judgment, as mentioned. Judgment cleaves to judgment. The judgment in the woman adheres to the judgment of the foreigner. It is written of them, the dogs are insolently greedy. They never have enough. My commentary. And I will say in advance that some people will have some difficulty with this. Is this pasuk offensive? Read it closely and it won't. The Jewish halakha on all groups of Jews, Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, Renewal, Reconstructionist, and all others do not allow non-Jewish women to be wed to a Jewish man by a rabbi. The definition of who is a Jew changes between the groups. What the Zohar is saying is that there are spiritual differences between nations. These spiritual nations impact the people involved. These spiritual differences impact the people involved. My uncle, who is married to four different non-Jewish women, would say, they all are Jewish by injection. It may be offensive. He said it as a joke. A joke to hide his pain related to the pain of his parents. Ultimately, what needs to be understood where this halakha comes from? It comes from the verses in the Torah of the Parasha of Maaseh and relates to the concept of marrying within or without a tribe of the children of Israel. Look closely at this translation and realize that the Zohar is saying, you are authorized to marry a non-Jewish woman if she has not been with any other man. This is but because she can accept the mercy energy, and it will cause chaos in their marriage. I can attest to this from the life of my uncle. The fifth pasuk. We all datanenan Ani eled leokol kishura bokach kakelev makalba takifa perucheya hatsifa okaka shina bedina Hatsifa bekola Han ve'elet Le'Yisrael Tanenan Kishti bi'atem Hadzekim Be'Hashem Elohechem Chaim Kulchem Chayom Memtet Mishum D'Nishmata Di'Yisrael Adya Meruchad Elohim Chaim Diktiv Ki Ruach Malfanai Ya'atov Mashma Diktiv Milfanai Ukichita Behi Bechtulta Vela Itavakat Padina Kasha Disharamin Leitivakat Beisrael Rahme Natcha Beit Kashrat. In relation to this, we have learned that a woman who is married to a foreigner is attached to him like a dog. Just as a dog has a strong, impudent spirit, she who is married to a foreigner is also most impudent. When judgment cleaves to judgment, we learn that she who is married to one of the children of Israel, it says of her, but you that did cleave to Hashem your Elohim are alive, every one of you this day. What is the reason thereof? The soul of Israel comes from the spirit of the living Elohim. As it is written, but the spirit should faint, also envelope, before me. This is understood from the phrase before me, which means from before the Shekhinah, namely from Zeron Pin called living Elohim. Therefore, in a virgin woman who does not cleave to the harsh judgment of the other nations, as mentioned above, but cleaves to Israel, which is of mercy. Mercy is more powerful, and she is corrected from the judgment within her. I am adding, do you understand how much pain has been caused by the rabbis using the letter of the law, since they can never know if a non-Jewish or a Jewish woman has been with a man? So they err on the side of caution. The verse of the Zohar is the spirit of the law, promulgated by Moshe, dealing with the daughters of Tzlofad. Let me put things into perspective and make the spirit of the law clear. A Jewish man marries either a Jewish virgin or a non-Jewish virgin. Here, judgments are rectified. A Jewish virgin woman, or not, marries a non-Jewish man. Her judgments are increased, and she cleaves to a foreign god, it is said elsewhere in the Zohar. A Jewish man marries a Jewish woman who has been previously married to a non-Jewish man. He is incapable of changing her connection to the increased judgment. A Jewish man marries a Jewish woman who has been previously married to a Jewish man. He may be her soulmate. Her judgments have already been corrected. A Jewish man marries a convert who has never been married. It is the same as the Jewish woman above. A Jewish man marries a convert who has been married before. It will depend on the timing of their conversion. And if she slept with a non-Jewish man after her conversion, if she has not slept with a non-Jewish man after her conversion, she is considered spiritually a virgin. The sixth pasuk. Betachatzi keti vimreti olam chesed banai banai ibaneh. My chesed hu chad mikitrei la edimalka. When Ishmeta di Israel Tara La Kucha Barichu Hesed Altana De Yit Bene Vela Yishtetse Hesed Me Alma Ma Mishma Diktiv Yibane De Gimel Kach Tane Nan Mandis chetse shatse chesed me alma ishtetse uli alma diate we al dakiti lo tihie yeshethe me chamet hachutza begin le meibad chesedim mita Bitabed binyana dikti lolam chesed yibaneh. Come and see, it is written, for I have said the world is built by chesed. What is chesed? He answers, it is one of the king's supernal sephirot, namely the highest of the lower seven sephirot. For the Holy One, blessed be He, named the soul of Israel Chesed, on the condition that it would build Chesed. Thus Chesed will never cease. This is derived from the phrase, is built, which refers to Chesed, that will be built. We have therefore learned that he who causes Chesed to cease in the world will perish in the world that is coming. Hence it is written, the wife of the dead shall not marry abroad to a stranger in order to do kindness with the dead man, so that he will be built and established. As it is written, the world is built by chesed. Anokads, this pasuk is dealing with levirate marriage. The brother brings the soul of the dead husband, and in so doing causes chesed to be increased in the world. That's the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions?
Hello, I have a question.
Please say again.
I have a question. Why does
Simcha
is related to healing? And in the Bible, it's about numbers, it's about senses.
Yes. There are numbers in the parasha of Pinchas, and there are different aspects in the parasha of Matot. This is dealing with Matot, it's okay to ask any question on any subject, so I'm not sure what is your question.
My question is why Pinchas is related for healing. And in the information in the Bible is about numbers.
If you read my email from Pinchas, which went out last Sunday, you will find that there are five different aspects that we meditated on this morning when we were reading the Parasha of Pinchas. And those five unique aspects in the Torah scroll help you to understand why these numbers from the Torah, from the Parasha of Pinchas, relate to healing. In that email, I stated in my opinion, those numbers dealing with the census of the tribes, all 13 tribes, deals with certain aspects of the genetic code and certain aspects of the human medical world that has yet to be revealed, because that has not been revealed, to my knowledge, by the Mekubalim, the Kabbalists. That's my opinion on why those numbers are in this parasha. But the reason that Pinchas is dealing with healing is because Pinchas, his action of zealousness, which is not normally thought of as a positive aspect, and in fact, Pinchas died through fear after he killed Cozbi and Zimri, when he looked outside and he saw all of the people of the tribe of Shimon rising up to kill him because he killed their leader. His soul fled his body. And what happened is the souls of Nadav and Avihu that had been waiting for this event after they died by bringing foreign fire that we learned about in the parasha, I don't remember exactly, but in the book of Leviticus, those two souls reincarnated. They entered as an Ibur with Pinchas in his body. And then that body, later we understand through the writings of the Ari, his body, through a various processes, including becoming Samuel, the souls of Nadav and Avihu went into Samuel, the prophet. So when you read the book of Samuel, you have a different perspective than if you don't know that information. And then those same souls went into someone known as Eliyahu Hatishbi. And then eventually all of them entered into to the body of Eliyahu Hanavi, the prophet. And today we read the Haftorah that was dealing with the reincarnation of Pinchas and Cozbi, because Pinchas killed Cozbi and she remembered that pain. That's why she constantly abused and forced him into hiding and all kinds of issues having to do with the correction of him killing her, along with Zimri, because she was doing what her father asked. She was doing something that is negative, but for a positive effect or for a positive reason. And we learn from the Zohar in many places. And the famous pasuk, the famous verse, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's a very meaningful aspect. And I am very glad that you asked the question. And I'm sorry for bringing all of this information into this answer. And I hope it's not too confusing. But ultimately, Pinchas is healing because his action of zealousness caused that healing. The healing of Nadav and Avihu, the healing of all of the rest of his life as Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu the prophet. And as we are told in many places, we have a tradition that Eliyahu did not die because he had three male souls. He clearly was given long life through that process. I hope I've confused you a little bit tonight, Laura, so that you will contemplate.
No, that's fine. I need to read more. It was a good explanation, and also beyond what the information appears in when the first
the English translate the simple stories of the Torah. Whether you read them in Hebrew or you read them as an English translation, are not going to give you the deeper essence of the meaning. only with the help of the Zohar can you even touch them. Only with the help of the writings of the Kabbalists can you even get a glimpse of what the true depth and understanding is.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions?
No, no for now. Thank you, Hello.
You're welcome. The class is tomorrow. Tomorrow at 10:30. It's an important class to attend. We will be discussing the 17th of Tammuz. And if we have time, we will be discussing a short class in You Are Who You Hate. But it is important to come to understand what is the coming negative three weeks, and how to protect yourself during those 3 weeks. Tomorrow night at 5:30 LA time, we will have class number 4 in the basic class in Salt Lake City. That class will cover the 72 names and all of the various names dealing with healing. At 6:30 West Coast time, which is 7:30 in Salt Lake, we will start a beginning class, the first class that I have never given before, on the Tree of Life. Feel free, and I hope you all will join us. Monday at 7 p.m., which is a time change from last Monday, and all of my classes during the week are now going to be at 7, except for tonight, Saturday night, Motzi Shabbat, and Sunday night. Monday night at 7 p.m., we will have the second part of our class on the letter Vav. Tuesday at 7 p.m., we will have our 57th class in Advanced Reincarnation. Wednesday at 7 p.m., every week we will have a question and answers session. Last week, I felt it was rather interesting, having to do with organ transplants. Thursday, we have our Zohar class. This week, we will go back and speak about different aspects of Pinchas, because we have already explained or talked about the Parsha of Matot. Please realize also that in the Parsha of Masai, there is no Zohar, and this is because the energy of Masai is so powerful, as you'll be able to read tomorrow morning when the email comes out. Are there any questions? Have a beautiful week. Please, if you don't attend, listen to the recording tomorrow morning. You need to know it's important for your spiritual health, and for some, their physical health. It's important to know about the 3 weeks. Go ahead, Laura.
Thank you. I will be there tomorrow.
Baruch Hashem. We'll speak to you all. Have a beautiful week. Shalom, you all.
Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom. Thank you.